Okay, good morning, everybody. Geren Erev Shabbos Shuvah. I hope everyone is well and enjoying a meaningful, purposeful, and uplifting time period of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Prepared a special class, special shiur, related to Shabbos and Teshuvah, based on the teachings of Rabbi Lura Jonathan Sachs, Zichrono Livracha. I want to, of course, continue to thank our sponsor and her family who wishes to remain anonymous. At any time that you would like me to start once again announcing your family name would be my greatest chus and honor. But in the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should repay you and your family with boundless brachos and shafa tova in the new year, and kol tov and health to enjoy all the nachas b'ezrat Hashem. And we thank you very, very, very much for facilitating this learning to enhance our Shmir Shabbos, Kavod, Onik, and Ahava Shabbos. So let us get into our learning. I'm going to be teaching a new piece. Well, it's not really new, but it's new for me and maybe new for you. I'm from Rabbi Sachs. It's on Shabbos. And what I'm going to do is tie it into very much Teshuvah, like you will see. The piece is not related to Teshuvah, but I think that we can relate it very much to Teshuvah. It is an essay on Shabbos, and that is where we are going to begin. It's actually an essay, fascinating piece, that connects Shabbos and the Mishkan. Now, we have spoken about Shabbos and Mishkan before, and that is because in no less than four places, we've done it based on Salvatrix, that's all, in no less than four places, the Torah combined Shabbos and Mishkan. In other words, the command to keep Mishkan and the command to keep Shabbos are connected in at least four places in the Chumash. For example, in Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Oh no, that's Ishimo Aviti Rabbis Veshab Sosei Tishmara. That's Shabbos and Kibbutz Mora. Okay, forget that. Let's go. I mean, not really forget it, but for Baruch Hashem Asher. Let's keep going. Okay, so we're going to begin with Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. Keep in mind, Mishkan is in Sefer Shemos, Teruma Titzava Kitisa Vayakob Akute. Okay, the last five parashios of Sefer Shemos deal with Mishkan. Mishkan is, of course, the home, the abode, the physical structure to contain, so to speak, the Shechina in this world. Teruma and Titzava are the commands to build the Mishkan, Kitisa a little bit more. Vayakal and Pekude are the implementation of the building of the Mishkan. Good, let's go. Says Rabbi Dor Jonathan Sachs, Zichrono Livracha, an immensely lengthy and detailed account of the making of the Mishkan, the Torah tells the story twice. First, the divine instruction, Teruma Titzava. Hashem tells Moshe, this is what you shall do. And then the Torah tells the story again, Vayakal Pekude, the implementation, the human construction. So first we have the instructions, build Mishkan, and then we have the implementation of building Mishkan. Truman Tetzava, God instructs Moshe, this is what you will do. Vayakal Pekude, this is what the people do. Good. In both cases, the construction of the building of the Mishkan, however, is juxtaposed with the command to keep Shabbos. And before we go further, I'm going to screen share with you to show you. Wait, where is that? One second. I put it up. One second. Just go to the page where it is. Okay. I'm coming back to you. Here we go. You should see that I'm in Sefer Shemos chapter 31. Okay, this is Parshas Kitisa. Listen. Teruma, Tetzava, beginning of Kitisa, God gives all the commands to Moshe how to build the Mishkan. And then the final thing he says is, Re'e Karasi B'Shem B'Tzal Ben Uri Ben Chur, the Mati Yehuda. B'Tzal will be the master craftsman. He has been endowed with Chachma, Bina, and Das in order to do all the work of how to build the Mishkan. You shall build the Shulchan, the table, the implementation, the menorah, the Mizbech HaKetoros, the golden altar, the Mizbech HaOla, the copper altar. You should make the Kiyor. You have to make the clothing of Aaron and his children. You have to, the Kohanim, you have to make special anointing oil, everything that I commanded you. Hashem finishes commanding about Mishkan. He begins in Parak Chof Hei of Shemos, Parshas Truma, through Parak Lamed Alf, Truma Tetzava, beginning of Kitisa. Hashem commands us build Mishkan. How does Hashem conclude his instructions regarding Mishkan? Vayom Hashem Moshe Lemer, Va'at Adabra El B'nei Yisrael Lemer, Ach Eshab Sosai Tishmeru, Ki Osi Beinu Veinechem Adar Seichem, Ladas Kini Hashem Mikadishchem. What is the conclusion of Mishkan? Shabbos. Hashem gives us all the instructions over six prakim of Chumash, and he says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, Ach, however, my Sabbath you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you for the generations to know that I am Hashem who sanctifies you. Ushmartem es haShabbos, you shall guard the Shabbos. Ki kol hashilichem, it is holy to you. Whoever transgresses the Shabbos will surely die. Anyone who does work will be cut off from the midst of her people for 6 days. Sheishis yamim yasem alacha. This is the end of Perek Lamed Aleph. It's God's conclusion of Mishkan. Make Mishkan. Here's all the details. P.S. Keep Shabbos. For 6 days you shall work. On the seventh day, Shabbos, Shabboson, Kodesh LaHashem, a Sabbath of Sabbath, holy to God. Whoever does work shall surely die. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael so Shabbos. The children of Israel kept the Sabbath. L'asoset haShabbos l'darsam bris olam. To do the Shabbos for the generations, an eternal covenant. Beinu bein b'nei Yisrael osi l'olam. Between me and between the children of Israel, Shabbos is a sign forever. K'sheshes yamim asar Hashem es haShemayim v'asaretz. U'v'yam haShvi shavav v'yinafash. In 6 days, Hashem made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he ceased and he rested. So how does God conclude Mishkan? Shabbos. It's very clear. Then we have the disaster of Chet HaEgel and Perek Lamed Beis. In the aftermath, after Chet HaEgel, which is its own shir, why it appears here, but not for now, we got a Parshas Vayakha. Okay, let's pretend we're skipping over Chet HaEgel now. So, Truma Tetzava, beginning of Ketisa, God's instruction, Hashem says at the end of instruction, as P.S., make Shabbos. Now we come to Vayakha and Pekudei, which is the next parak on my screen. Parak Lamed Hey and Shemos, we're going to build the Mishkan. We are going to build the Mishkan. Vayakha Pekudei, we're going to do everything Hashem said. From Perek Lamed Hey through Perek Mem and Shemos, we build the Mishkan. How does Moshe introduce Mishkan to the people before we actually start building? Vayakha Moshe, forget Egel, because for purposes of our shir, it's not relevant, okay? Chuma Tetzava Kitisha, Hashem says make Mishkan. Hashem says, by the way, keep Shabbos. We saw the Pesukim. Moshe is now going to implement the building of the Mishkan. He's going to get Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mate Yehuda. He's going to get with him Ahali of ben Achisamech l'mate Dan. They're the master class, so they're actually going to build Mishkan. How does Moshe introduce Mishkan building to the Bnei Yisrael? Vayakha Moshe is called as Bnei Yisrael vayomer aleihem. And Moshe assembled the entire assembly, congregation of the children of Israel, and he said to them, Elo dvar mishar tziva Hashem lasos osem. This is what Hashem commanded you to do. What did he command you to do? Make an iron kodesh. Make a shulchan. Make a kiyar. Make a mizbech hazahav. Make a mizbech hanechoshas. Make the beams and the walls and the atzei shitim omdim. And make the big garden for the kohanim. Make three layers on top of the mishkan. Oros eli madam. Oros techashim. The atzei, oh, I already said, and make the brichim and the briach hatichon, construct the Mishkan. But wait, Moshe says, before I tell you about Mishkan, I have to tell you something else. Sheishos yamim te'asem alacha, ubayam ha-shvi yalachem kodesh, abash abason la-shem, kol osobo malachim imos. For 6 days, you shall do work. You could do work for 6 days. On the seventh day, it should be for you a holy cessation of cessation. Shabbat Shabbos unto God. Whoever does work shall die. Lo sivaru eish b'chol mashvaseichem b'yom HaShabbos. You may not kindle a fire in all your dwelling places on the Yom HaShabbos. And Moshe told the children of Israel, like God instructed him, take a contribution. Everyone whose heart motivates him to give. We need for the Mishkan. Zahav kesef dechoshes cheles hargaman so la'ashani. Okay. What do you notice? There's a fundamental difference, which was pointed out by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, in instruction for Mishkan and implementation of building Mishkan. Remember, instruction is God's words. Implementation is Moshe says to people, this is what Hashem said we have to do. What is the difference? There's a fundamental difference pointed out by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. Something that I really never thought about. I never learned through this essay before. I certainly never taught it because I never learned through it before. I wanted to teach something special for Shabbos Shuvah. And you're going to see, well, Shabbos Kodesh class, so it had to be connected, of course, to Shabbos, and something special for Shabbos Shuvah. So here we go, a fascinating journey. There is one marked difference between the account of God's instruction to Moshe to build the Mishkan and Moshe's instruction to the people. In the first case, when Hashem commands us vis-a-vis Mishkan in Parshas Ki Tisa, first Hashem commands Mishkan, at the end Hashem commands about Shabbos. The command of Shabbos appears at the end of God's detailed instruction to build Mishkan. But when Moshe relates the instruction, now we're actually going to build the Mishkan, people, he gathers the entire assembly of Israel. He says, these are the words that Hashem commanded us to do. He begins with Shabbos, and Mishkan's come second. Listen again, in Hashem's command to the people, Mishkan is first, Shabbos is last. In Moshe's command to the people to implement God's desire to build Mishkan, Shabbos is first, Mishkan is last. Fascinating. Nothing in the Torah is an exit. It's not random, but Hashem puts Shabbos after Mishkan, and Moshe puts Shabbos before Mishkan. So it's not just, this is a whole new nekuda, a whole new dimension that I've never considered before. It's not just that Shabbos and Mishkan are juxtaposed, which we know they are. Of salvation is a beautiful piece, which we've learned. Hashem wants a sanctuary in time and a sanctuary in space. Hashem wants a sanctuary in time, Shabbos, and a sanctuary in space, Mishkan. He juxtaposed them to teach them that we can construct for God a sanctuary, a Makom Kadosh, for the Ribono Shel Olam, both in space, make a Mishkan, and in time, Shabbos. Furthermore, Chazal learned out that Ein Mishka Docha Shabbos. Right? The classic, most elemental understanding that the sages offer between Shabbos and Mishkan is to teach you that even though Mishkan is very, very important, and the sanctuary and space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very important, you have to stop working when it comes to Shabbos. Therefore, the Torah juxtaposes Shabbos and Mishkan to tell you that even though you have to build the Mishkan, because Hashem said, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shechanti B'Socham, nevertheless, when Shabbos comes, you lay down your tools, your weaving implements, your dyeing, your colors that you use for dye, the lapidary work, the metalwork, everything stops when it comes to Shabbos. From Mishkan, we learn the 39 Malachos, what they did to build the Mishkan, or the Av Malachos of what we're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's why Shabbos and Mishkan are juxtaposed. We say there may be two more than two reasons. We gave two. One, sanctuary in time, sanctuary in space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just like you build a sanctuary in space, Mishkan, you also need to carve out a sanctuary in time for God in your life. That's represented in Shabbos. Second reason, the Av Malachos of Binyan Mishkan teach us what we don't do on Shabbos. So since they did tochin to grind the spices for the incense mixture, we're not allowed to cut the vegetables very, very teeny for our salad on Shabbos. That's tochin. We can't crush pills to take medicine on Shabbos. Obviously, I'm not pasking any halacha at all. There are clearly yotzim in a cloud, but that's where it comes from. Okay, but now Rabbi Sachs is pointing out that there's a change in God's instruction and Moshe's implementation. God instructs Mishkan, Shabbos comes last. Moshe instructs Shabbos first, and Mishkan comes second. Why? Okay, now let's begin the answer. So that's all setting the stage for our shir. Why is this so, says Rabbi Sachs? The Gemara raises the following question. He's quoting the Gemara from Masechta Shabbos, Samech Tes, Amud Beis. The Talmud raises the following question. Listen carefully. What happens if you are far away from human habitation? I don't know, you get stuck on an island somewhere, and you forget what day it is. This could potentially happen to somebody. If they're stuck far away from human habitation, they don't know what day it is. How do you observe the Shabbos? Shabbos is going to come, but you lost track of time. So the Gemara gives us two different answers. Rav Huna said, if you're traveling on a road or in the wilderness and you don't know when it is Shabbos, he must count 6 days from the day he realizes he is forgotten, and he must observe a day of Shabbos. So you forgot that clearly this is not a lachak, a chas v'shalom, we should never be in such a matzav. But if a person is in such a matzav, said Rav Huna, he's on the road, he's in the wilderness, he doesn't know what day is Shabbos, he doesn't have a calendar app, his iPhone died, he didn't take a car with him in the first place, he got totally disoriented, he hit his head and he fell asleep for 3 days, and now he woke up and miraculously he's fine, but he has no clue what day it is. So Rav Huna says, what should you do? He must count 6 days from the day he realizes he has forgotten and observe one. So today I realized I forgot. Now I count 6 days, sunrise, sunset, I know I count 6 days, now I keep Shabbos. So according to Rav Huna, Shabbos is last. First you have 6 Yemos HaChol, and then you're going to have Shabbos. Oh, the Gemara there gives a different opinion. Rav Chiya Bar Rav said he must observe 1 day as Shabbos, and then count 6 days after that. Again, we have the Shabbos first or Shabbos last. Rav Huna says count 6 days. Then you have from the day you forgot. Then you have the 7th day, Shabbos. In that case, Shabbos is last. Your most hachol come first. Shabbos is last. According to Rav Chiya Bar Rav, it's the opposite. As soon as you realize you forgot, you're going to make Shabbos. Shabbos is first. And count 6 days going forward. Your most hachol is last. So the kasha is, once again, is Shabbos first or Shabbos last? And what do we learn from here? Why did Hashem put Mishkan first and Shabbos last? And Moshe put Shabbos first and Mishkan last? And what do they differ, says the Gemara? One master holds, it's like the world's creation, I'm continuing with the Gemara, and one master holds, it's like the case of Adam HaRishon. What is this Gemara telling me? The Gemara concludes, on what point do Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Bar Rav differ? One master, meaning Rav Huna, says it's like the world's creation. In the creation of the world, what came first? Yemos HaChol or Shabbos. It was a Chokhmah verse. The entire Perek Aleph of Bereishis tells me about Sheshes Yemei Bereishis, 6 days of creation. Only when I come up to Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, Vayichul HaShemayim V'aretz V'chotz V'am, V'chalukim V'amishvi M'lachto Asher Asa, V'yishbos V'amishvi V'kom M'lachto Asher Asa, V'yivarach V'kim V'samishvi V'kadesh Oso, Kivo Shava M'kom M'lachto Asher Baro L'kim L'as. So it's Perek Beis Pasukim Aleph through Gimel in Bereishis. Hashem first counted 6 days, so to speak, and then he made Shabbos. That's opinion of Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, if you're traveling on the way and you forget what day it is, you should emulate God. God counted 6 days and then he made Shabbos. By Baisa Bereishis. So you should count 6 days and keep Shabbos. That's opinion of Rav Huna. Therefore, that master Rav Huna holds, it's like Baisa Bereishis. Six Yemos HaChol, six Yemos Melacha, seventh day of Shabbos. First comes the Chol, the Yemos Melacha, then comes Shabbos, says Rav Huna. But the Gemara says the other one holds, it's like the case of Adam HaRishon. The other one, meaning Rav Chiya Bar Rav, says it's not like Ma'isa Bereishis from God's vantage point, it's like Ma'isa Bereishis from Adam's vantage point. From Adam's vantage point, when did he start his life? What day was it when he came to the world? When was Adam created? On the sixth day. What came first for Adam, Yemos HaChol or Shabbos? I mean, I could only see two people and neither of them are mouthing the answer, but like, what came first for Adam? Yemos HaChol or Shabbos? Which one? What did you say, Shoshana? Shabbos, is that what you said? That's exactly correct. From God's vantage point, there were 6 days of the week and then there was Shabbos. Shabbos came last. From Adam's vantage point, Shabbos came first. He was created right before Shabbos. And then the six Yemos HaChol came after. So the Gemara is telling you, Rav Huna is saying, it is so interesting. It's incredibly fascinating. I never saw this piece before. I never learned through it, so I certainly never taught it before. And I wanted to have a special shiur for Shabbos Shuva. You're going to see it connects it to Shuva, so bear with us. And it's really fascinating. Rabbi Sachs Chorav Recho is absolutely brilliant, not only in his exploration of Torah thought, but in his ability to express with such eloquence and emotive power thought on Torah, and it's fascinating. So now let's go, it's fascinating, fascinating. So two answers are offered. You're traveling on the way, and you got lost, and you have no idea what day it is. This could potentially happen, but it could happen to somebody. You have no idea what day is Shabbos. Should you emulate God? What does emulation of God mean? Count 6 days from the day you remembered, that you forgot, and then make a Shabbos. Why are you emulating God? Because that's what God did by Ma'isa Bereishis. This is what he created on Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Ravi, Yom Chamishi, Yom Shishi, Shabbos. That's emulating God. Count 6 days, make Shabbos. On the other hand, that's Rav Huna. Rav Chiya Bar Rav says, no, you should be like Adam HaRishon. What did Adam HaRishon do? Adam HaRishon was created. Immediately he was, Sher Kishan Misosovich, Vanu Ladak Nershul Shabbos, it was Shabbos. In between creation and Shabbos, he sinned. That's a different shir, but the Ma'isa, he went straight into Shabbos. So Rav Chiya Bar Rav says, no, you should be like Adam HaRishon. You should make Shabbos. Whenever you forget, you realize, okay, tonight, you wake up in the morning, you realize you have no idea what day it is, you realize you forgot Shabbos, so you're going to say, oh, tonight, by Shkia Sachama, it's going to be my Shabbos. And then I'll count 6 days after that. That's a Mechlokas in the Gemara. Says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, from God's point of view, Shabbos was the seventh day. From the point of view of the first human beings, created on the sixth day, Shabbos is the first. Once again, like Mishkan, is Shabbos last or Shabbos first? The debate is about which perspective we should adopt. At the simplest level, we understand why Shabbos comes last. Oh, sorry, that's a ding on my computer. I lowered the volume, you won't hear that. That's at the simplest level, we understand why Shabbos comes last when God is speaking about Mishkan. Right? Why? Because by Mishkan, what did Hashem do? He introduced all the malachas machshavas that you're going to do for Mishkan. And when does Shabbos come? At the end of work, God had Shabbos. It's a pattern that mimics what, everyone? Ma'isa? Bereishis. Hashem worked for 6 days. Shabbos was last for God, so to speak. So when Hashem commands you to make Mishkan, Truma, Tetzava, the beginning of Kitisa, Perachav Hei, Chav Vav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, Chav Tes, Lam, at the beginning of Lam and Aleph, he tells you everything, all the work you have to do. At the end, we have Shabbos. For God, so to speak, work comes first and Shabbos comes last. But however, when Moshe commands the people to make Mishkan, Moshe is a Basar Adam. He was greater than anything we could even fathom. We have no inkling of what Moshe Rabbeinu even means. However, he said Shabbos comes first because he was a Basar Adam. For Adam Arisha, what came first? Shabbos. So Moshe introduces Parshas Vayaka with, for 6 days you shall do work. On the seventh day is a Shabbos Shabbos, and it is a Kodesh. Kom lechus avoda lo sa'asu, lo sav'iru eish b'chamesh v'sech, sevaru eish b'chamesh v'sech, and b'yam ha-Shabbos. Now I can tell you, b'nzav, kesef, d'choshes, t'chiles, argaman, Moshe is following the pattern of Adam Rishon, Shabbos first, work after. God is following the pattern of God. Work first, Shabbos after. Incredible. For God, the Sabbath was the last day of creation. For Hashem, Shabbos is last. For Basar Adam, Shabbos is first. It's incredible. This is so brilliant. However, says Rabbi Sacks, there's something much more fundamental going on here. Imagine. It gets even deeper. When it comes to divine creation, Hashem is the Bore, Hashem is creator, there's no gap between Kavana, intention, and execution. God spoke, the world came into being. Hashem doesn't need to plan. He doesn't need to implement. Hashem spoke, Yehi Or, there was Or. There's no time lag between Hashem's Kavanah to create light and light. There's no time lag between Yehi Me'oros Birakiya Hashemayim, Tadje Ha'aretz Desha, Mazriya Zera. There's no time lag between God's intention to create and the actual implementation of creation. Hashem spoke, make light, make firmaments and make luminaries in the firmaments of the heaven. Let the grasses sprout vegetation, and all of a sudden it came into being. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no gap between intention and execution. God knows in advance how things will turn out, and that's how they'll turn out. The only reason I want to skip is because of time. So you're all welcome to go learn. Like, I only chose, remember, I still have to get to Teshuvah. Okay. With human beings, however, it is otherwise. Often, how true is this? Boy, so many of our challenges in life, not all, but many, are because we cannot see the end at the beginning. We cannot see the outcome at the outset. For example, someone enters into a business venture. They think at the outset, it sounds like a great idea. It's not such a great idea. They only know that at the outcome, not at the outset, because we're human beings, we're finite, we're limited. God is Haya Hoveh V'Yeh. Past, present, future, all around. So for someone who knows, someone, capital S, someone who knows the outcome, there's no, I don't know the exact word I'm looking for, between thought and outcome. Everything is as exactly as it's supposed to be. You enter a business venture, you think it's a great idea. Oh, well, my sister, it's not such a good idea. You don't know that at the outcome, or you wouldn't have entered the business venture. Person applies to a certain school, they start off in that school, and they realize this is not a good shidduch. Had you known that in the beginning, you wouldn't have gone to that school, or you wouldn't have sent your child to that school, whatever it is. In fact, the Gemara says in Tamid 32a, Maseches Tamid, Lamed Beis Aleph, Ezehu Chacham Haroes HaNolad. A wise person is someone who's able to see the outcome of their actions. You need to be a Navi to see the outcome of your actions, I think, not just wise. With human beings, it is otherwise. Often we cannot see the end at the beginning. I've given you a few examples. We cannot see the outcome at the outset. A great novelist may not know how the story will turn out until he has written it. A composer, a symphony, a painting. Creativity is fraught with risk. So I gave you the example of choosing a school for your child or yourself or a business venture or a relationship, broken relationship. You think it's a good idea in the beginning, but creativity is fraught with risk. All the more so, we do the best we can. We daven. We have the Torah to guide us. We have tefillah. We consult with our rabbanim. And sometimes, to the best of our ability, doesn't work out as we thought. Not so with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem said, "Yehi Or." There was the light he wanted. He said, "Let there be a sun, a moon, and a kol chavim," and so it was. Creativity for human beings is fraught with risk. All the more so with human history. The law of unintended consequences tells us that revolutions rarely turn out as planned. One alternative, so what should we do? We're human beings. We're not godly. We are godly. We're not God. We can't make sure that everything will turn out exactly as we think, because that's part of the limitation of being a human being. One alternative is to let simply things happen as they will. This kind of resignation, however, is out of keeping with the Judaic view of history. In other words, be totally passive. Don't do anything. Whatever happened will happen. That's not the Torah perspective. Hashem taught us that by sending Moshe as the shaliach. Hashem could have just taken us out of Egypt. He didn't need Moshe. Hashem could have just taken us out of Egypt. He's a rebbe sha'olam. Hashem wants us to be active, constructive partners in shaping our destiny, which is why we have Bris Milah. Bris Milah teaches us, Sefer Cherech, that just like man can perfect himself physically, he can perfect himself spiritually. We have to be active partners in perfecting ourselves, our nation, the world, our neshamos. Hashem does not say, sit passive and I'll do everything. He does, of course, do everything, but we must be active. Otherwise, we would never go to work. We would never cook food. We would never do Bris Milah. We would never carry our mitzvahs. We would sit in a chair our entire lives and do nothing. That's not correct either. When things merely come to pass, they rarely have a happy ending. Man must be active. That is how the Torah wants us to be. Hashem could just make a sukkah on everybody's mirpesa come down from Shemayim. You have to build a sukkah. Oh, the Torah says, "Besukos teishu shivas yamim lan leidu dorosechem ki besukos oshavtias b'nei Yisrael will tzoyis yamim mitzrayim then the vayikra perichav gemel." So why do I have to build a sukkah? Make a sukkah. Come down from Shemayim. Hashem could do that. Hashem does not want us to be those kind of people. He wants us to be productive, active doers. So one solution is to say, I'm just going to let whatever happened going to happen. I'm going to be totally passive. I can't control the outcome anyway. So I'm going to sit and do nothing. In fact, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that's totally not the right approach. Lo alecha hamlecha ligmar. You're right. You cannot guarantee the outcome. However, lo ata ben chirin livatal mimena. It doesn't mean you can't do your effort. It doesn't mean you have to sit and do nothing. You still have to be a productive person. In Judaism, man must be productive, physically, spiritually, productive. So one option is to say, well, if I can't control the outcome, I'm going to do nothing. We've already pointed out, quoting many sources, that that is not a good idea. That's not the Torah perspective. That's definitely not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. Doesn't turn out how you want, it's true. However, lo ata ben chorin libetal mimena. What's the outcome? It's up to God. You still do your hashtadlus. The other solution, unique as far as I know to Judaism, says Rabbi Sacks, is to reveal the end at the beginning. Oh, this is so deep. That's the meaning of Shabbos. Shabbos, it's so powerful, is not simply a day of rest. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I get to rest. No work, no groceries, no shopping, no laundry, no cooking. I get to rest. It's very nice. But Shabbos is not simply a day of rest. Shabbos is that God reveals to us the end at the beginning. It is an anticipation of what end is Hashem revealing to us. What end is He revealing to us? The Mos HaMashiach. When we talk about Shabbos as a day that is Me'in Olam Haba, we're talking about the Olam Haba that's going to come. The Geula of the entire world, which is what we speak about in Malchus or Rosh Hashanah. And Hashem's name will be crowned king over the entire world. Shabbos is a foreshadowing of the end of what? The end of redemption. Just like there are 6 days of creation and the seventh was Shabbos, there are 6 millennia and the seventh will be Shabbos. Sof Masa b'machshava techila, because Baruch Hu revealed the end at the beginning. So for Hashem, the 6 days come first and Shabbos comes last. By Maisa Bereishis, by Mishkan, and by the destiny of the world. Hashem revealed to us the end. What's the end? Geula. The time that is the Olam Haba. Not a taste of Olam Haba every 7 days. But the Olam Haba, where we're going to get to. And of course, Baruch Hu reveals the end at the beginning. He tells you, in the beginning of the Chumash, open it up. There are Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, Perek Aleph. Vayer Elokim Es Kol Asher Asa, Vehinei Tov Me'od, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom HaShishi, Vayichu HaShemayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tzvan. So by Maisa Bereishis, Hashem is 6 days of Melechas Mechshava, so to speak, 6 days of creation, Briyas Olam, seventh is Shabbos. By Mishkan, Hashem says, work for 6 days, here's everything you're going to construct, Shabbos comes last, just like Maisa Bereishis. And so too the destiny of the whole world. The Ramban writes it, I mean many others obviously also, but the Ramban writes it by his commentary to Maisa Bereishis, that there are 6 millennia, and the seventh will be Shabbos. So from Hashem's perspective, Chol always comes first. Ma'aseh Bereishis, construction of the Mishkan, the destiny of the world. Seven, Shavisa, Shabbos, the ultimate Geula, the destination comes last, because Hashem knows the destination before He starts. You start a journey, you don't know the destination. You think you know the destination, but your life takes turns, you don't know. The other solution, unique as far as I know to Judaism, is to reveal the end at the beginning, says Rabbi Sachs. This is the meaning of Shabbos. Shabbos is not simply a day of rest. You can take a nap, that you don't have to cook, you don't have to go to the grocery, you don't have to run to the cleaners, you don't have to wash the dishes, you don't have to do the laundry on this day, you don't have to fold the laundry, no. It's not just, it's just a day of rest. It's an anticipation of the end of history, the Messianic age. On Shabbos, listen. On Shabbos, we do not strive to be. We are content to be. On Shabbos, we're not permitted to manipulate the world. We celebrate Shabbos as God's supreme work of art. We don't manipulate the world on Shabbos. We celebrate God's supreme work of art. We're not allowed to exercise power or dominance over other human beings, nor even over domestic animals. By the Aseres HaDibros in Vaschanan, I believe, and also Mishpatim, Parshas Mishpatim, it talks about the fact that not only do you have to rest, Avdecha, V'sharecha, V'chamarecha, Amascha, not in that order, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your donkey, your animals also have to rest. You have no dominion over the world on Shabbos. Not on people, not on work, not on your animals. Rich and poor inhabit Shabbos alike, with equal dignity and freedom for all Jews. We rehearse every week, one day in seven, for the Olam Haba, the Messianic era, the Yemos HaMashiach that's coming. The Shabbos is, so when we observe Shabbos, we have to imagine to ourselves, envision to ourselves, daven and hope and long for the ultimate Geula. That's what Shabbos is, a foreshadowing. Say in the Zmiro, Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba, Yom Shabbos Menucha. What are we talking about? Says Rabbi Sachs, listen to this. We've spoken so much about being dressed properly for Shabbos, levush Shabbos, jewelry for Shabbos, the table set for Shabbos, the foods of Shabbos. Imagine if you were told at 12, I don't know what time Chatzos Yom is today. Let's say 1 or 1 p.m., I don't know what time Chatzos is there. An example, Mashiach is coming. No, like verified, it's coming. How would you get yourself ready to greet the Mashiach? You would stay in your shmatas that you wash the floor with to greet the Mashiach? Soloveitchik tells a story over Chaim Volozhiner, who came home quickly to get dressed, I haven't told the story in years, to greet the Mashiach. And he realized the Shabbos kapota was missing a button. And he said, Relka, I asked you to sew the button last week. And she said to him, what was the Rosh Chaim? I'll sew it next week. And in the meantime, Mashiach came. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, what should I wear to greet the Mashiach? My Shabbos kapota, which is missing a button, or my weekday kapota? If you were told today, Chatzos Yom, Shabbos, when Shabbos comes in, Mashiach is going to be here. How would you dress? How would you set your table? How would you pack your bags? There would be so much anticipation for the beauty that will be revealed in the world. Quote, Rabbi Sachs says, and I quote now, the Shabbos is a full dress rehearsal. Every week when we observe Shabbos, it's a full dress rehearsal for a world that has not yet come to pass, but will come to pass. Because we know what we are aiming for, because at the beginning God revealed to us the end. It's really so beautiful and so amazing and so brilliant. At the beginning, meaning of time, Hashem revealed what would be at the end. For 6 days God worked, on the seventh He rested. When it came to Mishkan, He says, this is everything you could do, but wait. At the end, He said, don't forget Shabbos. There are 6 millennia of the world's creation. And then there is Yemos HaMashiach. And every week when we observe Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, I was just listening to a shir. Rabbi Shai Shechter said, Kavod Shabbos is everything we do to prepare for Shabbos. Setting the table, getting dressed, cooking the food. Oneg Shabbos is enjoying everything we have prepared. And there's 2 mitzvahs, there's 2 inyanim. You have to have kavod Shabbos, means you have to prepare for Shabbos. Called Torah Chaverev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. So you prepare for Shabbos, that's kavod Shabbos. You enjoy everything you prepared, that's Oneg Shabbos. But this is all a dress rehearsal for Yemos HaMashiach, which is where the whole world is going. which we daven for all the time, which we long for and wait for. Redeem us. It's Samach David Abdecha. Yerushalayim Yerucha Berachem Tashuv. We now begin to sense the full symbolic drama of the making of the Mishkan. In the wilderness, long before they crossed the Yarden River and entered the Promised Land, God told them to build a miniature universe. The Mishkan is a miniature universe. It would be a place of carefully calibrated order. Just like it was very, very orderly, the Mishkan, when you learn about it. I mean, everything has a place, everything has a measurement, everything has a specific design. It's not haphazard or random at all. God mimicked Mishkan after the creation of the world. There's actually a Medrash Tanchuma that teaches this. He doesn't refer to it. It's very beautiful, but okay. Hashem created a world with order, l'minehu, everything according to its kind. The Mishkan is, you can't mix up what goes on the Mizbeach HaZav with what goes on the Mizbeach Nechoshas. One is for Ketores, respectively, and one is for the Ola offering. You can't put one on the other. You can't bring your cow and put it in the Mizbeach HaZav. Why not? There's order to the world. God told the Israelites, and there's order to Mishkan, to build a cow. By the way, just to connect, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes garments for Adam and Isha in the aftermath of sin at the end of Perek Gimel, Vayas Hashem Elokim le'Adam u'Ishto koshnos or vayalbishim. Eight words. So Chazal say there's eight words there because Hashem made garments for Adam and Isha corresponding to the eight big day kahuna. Vayas Hashem Elokim le'Adam u'Ishto koshnos or vayalbishim. And God Elokim made for Adam and his wife garments of leather or whatever kind of garments he made for them, and he clothed them. Eight words because it corresponds to the big day kun and the Mishkan. There are many parallels between Briyas HaOlam and Mishkan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu implemented, put into the blueprint of each. So for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melacha comes first, Shabbos comes last. Because that's really the plan of the whole world. The divine architect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, planned it out that when we get to the end of the destiny of the world, we will have the ultimate Shabbos Shabbosah. The building of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, was a symbolic prototype of the building of a society. The Mishkan was an earthly home for the divine presence. Vasuli Mikdash Shachanti B'Socha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem, so to speak, infinity contracted to fit into this finite space on top of the Kruvim, not on top of the Kruvim, between the Kruvim and top of the Mishkan. Society would become, no, one second, just as it was an earthly home for the divine presence, society would be an earthly home for the divine presence when we honor God's law. When Mishkan was an abode for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal, so to speak, Klal Yisrael, the society we build in Eretz Yisrael, is meant to be an abode for God's presence when we honor the Torah. The ultimate end of such a society is the harmony of existence we have not yet experienced. It's Yemos HaMashiach, we're not yet there. We live in a world of striving, conflict, and competition. But we're supposed to be getting to the place where the Shekhinah will be revealed. Just like on Shabbos, just like in Mishkan, just like in Mos HaMashiach. That's the end vantage point of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's where you're going. God, however, wanted us to know what we are aiming for, so we should not lose our way in the wilderness of time. Don't lose your way in the wilderness of time. Time is either the greatest gift, or chas v'sham, who someone who does not utilize it properly, God forbid, can be a great curse. That is why when it came to the human execution of the building, Shabbos must come first. Even though in global terms, Messianic era, Briyas HaOlam, Shabbos of history comes last. But Hashem said, wait, don't become so disoriented, so discombobulated, so distracted in your life that you forget your goal. Maximize every second of time. Appreciate every moment of time. Learn to see God in time. Shabbos is first. Hashkafically, halachically, in the human experience. It has to be primary in your life because on Shabbos we connect with God. So it teaches us for the whole 6 days that come after Shabbos, you must connect with God. Shabbos teaches us there's a higher purpose than this mundane world. So that when you go into the 6 days that follow Shabbos, you take that higher purpose with you. God gave us, as human, Shabbos first, so we catch a glimpse of the destination before beginning the journey. It's so beautiful. But from Hashem's vantage point, so to speak, he knows Shabbos is last. But you have to know the goal at the beginning of your journey as a Jew is an Eved Hashem. And so you will take Shabbos with you into everything you do in the other 6 days. You will take your connection to Hashem with you. But where do we connect to Hashem more than any other day? On Shabbos. So Shabbos must come first, so you could take the Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with you into the 6 Yemos HaChol. Otherwise, you won't even know what you're supposed to be doing here. You have to know the destination first. So by human beings, Shabbos is first. Know what you're working for. Know where you're striving towards. Know that there's a Yemos HaMashiach in the 7th millennia better than anything we have ever envisioned or imagined or experienced. Take the destination with you. You can only take the destination with you if you know where you're going. So from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, Bries HaOlam Shabbos, Mishkan Shabbos, 6 millennia, Yemos HaMashiach, the ultimate Shabbos. Shabbos is the end. It's the goal. It's last. From the perspective of a human being, of an Eved Hashem specifically, he doesn't want us to get so lost in the 6 mundane days that if we have those first, we're going to totally be disconnected from God. Chas v'shalom. She says, from the human perspective, Shabbos must be first. Shabbos cements our connection to God. And when our connection to God is cemented, the 6 days will be on the right path. So therefore, when Moshe commands the people to start building the Mishkan in Parshas Vayakal, just like Adam had Shabbos first and work after, Moshe tells about Shabbos first and about work after. Rabbi Sacks concludes, and he says, only those who know where they are traveling to will get there, however fast or slow they go. It's a tremendous piece. For your reference, it's in Covenant, because sometimes people reach out to me. I listen to your share online where you're quoting from. So I'm saying it so you don't have to reach out to me. Covenant and Conversation, the book of Exodus. All right. I was thinking to myself, actually after I prepared the piece, very, very late last night, I was washing the dishes from the kompa that I made for Yom Tov. And I was thinking to myself, what does this have to do with Teshuvah? My mom is washing dishes on my fleshik sake. I think I had a gewaldic idea. This is such a beautiful idea. I think, if I may say so. Because Torah is tremendously, unbelievably redemptive, beautiful, deep, profound, endless and limitless. Hashem should always be pokeach irim. Rabbi Sacks is speaking about Mishkan and Shabbos. And it's a gewaldic, enlightening, musical symphony of Torah. What does it have to do with Teshuvah? I'm going to screen share with you. We're going to look at 3 different sources. 3 different sources in biblical chronological order. 1 second. In Parshas Nitzavim, which is always read Erev Rosh Hashanah, the theme is Teshuvah. Parshas Nitzavim, Devarim Perek Lamed, it's always read Erev Rosh Hashanah because it's all about Teshuvah. But it's not only about Teshuvah, it's about Yemos HaMashiach and the Geula. You should be able to see Devarim 30 on the screen. Hashem will return your captivity. He will have mercy on you. He will return and gather you in from all the nations where you are scattered there. If you are scattered to the ends of the earth, from there God will gather you in. From there he will take you. And he will bring you to the land. It will be good for you. He will increase. You will be more than your forefathers. It's talking about Yemos HaMashiach in the Kibbutz Galios. And the end of days, this is always read before Rosh Hashanah. The theme of the Perek of Perek Lam is Teshuvah. In fact, the mitzvah of Teshuvah is explicitly, ki mitzvah zos, according to the Ramban, the mitzvah of Teshuvah is explicitly in this Perek. But when are we talking about? Kosh Baruch Hu is talking about the end of days. He talks about the Kibbutz Galios. He talks about the return to God. He talks about bringing us home. And then he says, ki mitzvah zos, asher nochi mitzav chayom, lo nefleisi mimcha v'lo rechokahi. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about the ingathering of the exiles, go open up your chumash, he tells us the mitzvah of Teshuvah. Teshuvah comes last. From God's perspective, Teshuvah comes at the end. I'm going to gather you in wherever you are scattered. I will circumcise your heart on the heart of your children. I will bring you to the land. It's not talking about modern day Medina Yisrael, which is a tremendously beautiful bracha, but this is talking about in the end of days. Tshuva comes last from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective. Ki ha-mitzvah zos shoshar nochi mitzav chayom. Which mitzvah do I command you is not far away from you, but it's very close to you in your heart and in your mouth to do? The mitzvah of Tshuva, says the Rambam. Teshuva comes at the end. Ultimate Teshuva will bring Gula Sa'olam. One source, Devarim Perek Lamed. Let's look at Echa, Perek Hei, the end of Echa. Echa is the book of destruction. It was a lamentation of Yirmiyahu because of Churban Bayis. What happens by Geula? What do we ask of Kodesh Baruch Hu? At the end of Echa, right, at the end of Perek Hei. Ata Hashem l'olam teishev, kisach l'dar v'dar. Hashem, you God, dwell eternally. Your throne is forever and ever. Why do you eternally forsake us? Forget us for length of days. Hashivenu, which is obviously the root word of Teshuvah. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuvah chadei shemenu kekedam. In the end of days, Hashem God, you will return us to you and we will return. B'yemos HaMashiach. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuvah. Teshuvah will bring Yemos HaMashiach. In Yemos HaMashiach, the whole world will repent. Therefore, from God's perspective, Teshuvah comes at the end. 6 millennia, Teshuvah at the end. V'shavah Hashem Elkecha shavuzcha v'richa mecha v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim. When we are ingathered by the exiles, when we are ingathered from our exile, there will be a time period of ultimate Teshuvah. Parshas Nitzavim. At the end of days, when there's no more Churban and there's no more need for Echa, at the end of days with Geula v'Nashuva, we will have Teshuvah. 6 millennia of losing our way. I'm talking about nationally, national destiny. Tshuva comes at the end. And one more source, the very last Navi in Nevi'im, Malachi, the very last Navi that closes up the book of Nevi'im. What's the very last words of the very last prophet before Ketuvim? Nevi'im. And he talks about also the end of days, the Geula. This is read by the Haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol, because it's talking about the coming of Mashiach. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say at the end of Nevi'im? Hine anochi sholech chames elio anavi lifnei bo yam Hashem HaGadol v'anora. In the end of days, I'm sending elio anavi. That's not talking about now. It's talking about Halvai Shavi. We should get the news. Achatzos yam today, the Mashiach is coming. Behold, I am sending to you elio anavi zachor letov. Before the great day of God comes, the great and awesome day, the Yemos HaMashiach. The Heishiv. Three sources I'm showing you. Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed. Teshuvah is connected to the redemption of the end of days. Echa, Teshuvah is connected to the redemption of the end of days. Malachi, the final Navi. So Nitzavim is always read Erev Rosh Hashanah, obviously because it's a theme of Teshuvah, but we're saying that the ultimate Teshuvah, God says, will only be in the end of days. Echa, get rid of the Churban Hashem. It's enough already. Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, all the travails that happened in between. Please bring us back to you. V'anash Shuva. We will do Teshuva. When? When there's a third Beis Hamikdash. The last of all Nevi'im. The last Pasuk of Nevi'im. The Heishiv. Lev Avos Abanim V'Lev Banim Avos. And when Eliyahu Navi comes to announce that Mashiach is here, what would be the manifestation of that? The Heishiv Lev Avos Abanim V'Lev Banim Avosim. Fathers and children will repent together. And so from God's perspective, if it's the pattern of Shabbos, did you notice that Shabbos and Teshuvah are the same Shorashim? For Hashem, Shabbos comes last. We've explained exactly what that means. So if you came to Shira at this point, you're going to have no idea what I'm talking about. But you got to listen to the first 48 minutes. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbos comes last. Bria Sha'olam Shabbos. Perek Aleph of Bereishis. And then Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph through Gimel. Bria Sha'olam, 6 days of work, Shabbos comes last. Mishkan, this is all the work you should do for 6 days. Shabbos comes last. Destiny of the world, 6 millennia, the ultimate Shabbos, 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 and the Geula comes last. So Kosh Baruch Hu knows that's how the world falls out. That's the pattern of creation, of work, and of Geula. From mankind's perspective, Adam HaRishon had Shabbos first and 6 days after. Moshe spoke about Shabbos first and Mishkan after. Every person has to know the goal, the destination, before I even start the journey. Therefore, Shabbos comes first, because I have to know that Shabbos is really just a dress rehearsal for Yemos HaMashiach, the ultimate Shabbos. And Hashem wants us to know that before we even start the journey, so we'll always be connected to Him. So for mankind, Shabbos comes first. This is Shabbos Shuvah. This is not a regular Shabbos. What does this have to do with Teshuvah? It follows the exact same pattern. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he knows the ultimate teshuva will only be at the end of days. Teshuva comes last. The ultimate redemption will usher in a period of complete teshuva. Nitzavim, Echa, Malachi. Those are three very relevant proofs, because the Tzavim is always read Erev Rosh Hashanah, because it's about the mitzvah of teshuva. But it's really about Yemos HaMashiach and the Gula Asida, when teshuva will really be absolutely complete. Eicha is relevant as a proof, because it's talking about the mourning for Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and all the travail we have faced in Galus. But it ends by saying, Hashiveinu Hashem Melech Avinu Shuva Chad Lishemenu Kekedem, bring us back to the time period when we had a Beis Hamikdash, when we had autonomy in Eretz Yisrael, when the whole world knew there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vinashuva, tshuva will come in that Yemos HaMashiach. A Malachi is a good proof. That's a bad word to use. A strong proof, because it's the last of the Nevi'im. It's talking about the redemption. What is the last pasuk of all of Nevi'im? The Heshiv. When Eliyahu Navi Zerchula comes, Hinei Bo Yom Hashem Agadol V'Hanero V'Heshiv Le'Vavos Abanim. From Hashem's perspective, complete teshuva comes last. Just like Shabbos comes last. Since man is mortal, weak, and finite, because Baruch Hu knows that even though we try to the best of our ability to absolutely repent, and we mean it when we clap the Al-Khair on Yom Kippur, because Baruch Hu knows that man is also weak and fallible. Man's going to make a mistake again. So the wholesomeness of absolute teshuva can only come by Yemos HaMashiach. When there's no more Yitzhar, when we recognize the Kosh Baruch Hu, when there's Kibbutz Galus, when there's another Beis HaMikdash, when he brings us back to Vinashuva, Chadei Shemenu Kekata. From God's perspective, he realized teshuva can only come at the end. Oh my gosh. Wow. But from man's perspective, teshuva comes first. Just like Shabbos. Because you have to know the end goal before you even start. Oh my gosh. I cannot handle how gorgeous and beautiful and unbelievable and deep and profound and elevating and inspiring Torah is. No, sometimes I can't handle it. Like, I don't know, what should I do? Jump off the chair? From God's perspective, teshuva comes last. Why? Because with the kibbutz galus, when the Yetzer Hara is slayed, when we're back in our land, when we have Jewish autonomy, when there's shalom in the world, when the whole world recognizes Vayashem v'melech ha'kol etzbayim yashem echad ishmalach, like we say in the Malachios, then there will be ultimate teshuva. There cannot be complete teshuva, strive as we might, before that time period. It's not possible because of the human condition. We don't want to sin. We mean very well. Our sincere, our yeah, Nitzav Malachi, I don't see with the previous comment, but correct. As sincere as we are going to sin again. See Rav Huttner's famous letter in Pachad Yitzchak to his student. I'm not saying you should leave your own sin, but it's going to happen. If you're a human being, it's going to happen. Unless you're a Malach, or you're in the next world, it's going to happen. So Kosh Baruch Hu knows that Teshuva, like Shabbos, from God's perspective, must come last. It can only come last, by definition. Shabbos and Teshuva are the exact same letters. Shavat, rearrange it, is letters of Tashav. Because the ultimate teshuva will only come by the ultimate Shabbos. It's not normal. I really don't know what to do with myself. Tashav and Shavat are the same exact letters, because the ultimate teshuva will only come with the ultimate Shabbos. So from God's perspective, teshuva is last. But from man's perspective, Shabbos comes first. Adam had Shabbos first, and then Yemos HaChol. Moshe says Shabbos first, and then the construction to build the Mishkan. We go through 6 millennia, and then comes Yemos HaMashiach. From our perspective, Shabbos has to be first. Why? Says Rabbi Sachs. Because you have to know the goal before you start the destination to be an Eved Hashem. Even though you're not at the destination yet, you must know what the destination is. Otherwise, you're going to lose track of time, lose track of space, lose track of God. Lose track of your purpose here. So even though it comes at the end from the divine perspective, a human being has to know, where am I going? What am I doing here? What's my purpose? Your purpose is Shabbos. So Shabbos comes first, because it keeps me guided. It's my compass for life. So first you have Shabbos, and then you could have the Yemos HaChol. So too Teshuvah. So too Teshuvah. From God's perspective, ultimate teshuva is last. Nitzavim, Eicha, Malachi. And those are three powerful proofs. They're not randomly chosen. I didn't randomly choose them from Tanakh. Nitzavim is always read Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Eicha is our cry over Golos, but our tefillah for the ultimate redemption. And Malachi is the conclusion of Nevi'im. And Hashem talks about Hini Enochi Shalech Hachem Aseilu Anavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Nero V'Heishiv. Because God understands that human beings are weak and we will sin again. So ultimate teshuva can only come at the end of the day. So teshuva is last like Shabbos was last. But a human being has to know his destination before he begins the journey. A human being has to know that teshuva comes first. Because if you want to always be connected to God, just like Shabbos anchors us to our source, Shabbos is the umbilical cord between us, the baby, and our mother, the Shechina, Shabbos Hamalka. So it comes first because it keeps us anchored the whole rest of the week. So to Teshuvah. It has to come first in your life because you always have to take the first step back to God and it will keep you anchored the whole rest of your life. Oh my gosh, I can't handle. Baruch Shalom Asani Goy. Oh my gosh, Meshivas Nefesh. Meshivat, Shabbat, Teshuvah. Torah Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nefesh, Edus Hashem Nema, Machkimas Pesi. Torah is so pure, it restores Meshivat Nefesh. The statutes of God are so faithful, they make the simple people wise. From the human being perspective, from the Jewish perspective, from the Eved Hashem perspective, Teshuvah comes first. Even though it won't be completed to the ultimate end of days, just like Shabbos, and we know that. I have to know as I begin my program as an Eved Hashem, I begin my life, I begin my journey, I begin my goal. I have to know the destination. The destination is Teshuvah. You have to take the first step. Sometimes I might feel the rope swaying. I feel like I'm going to be off course. But just like Shabbos grounds us at the beginning for everything that comes after, the first step of Teshuvah grounds us for the whole rest of the year. And so for us, Teshuvah comes first. While for God, ultimate Teshuvah comes last. I know I went over. I knew it also wasn't going to take me 45 minutes. If you had to leave, you're not even here to hear me say, please listen to the NLI Torah. I thank our sponsor very much. I thank you all for joining. I thank Kosh Baruch Hu for the gift of Shanasal Nanu Torah's Emes. Even though the ultimate Teshuvah will come with the ultimate Shabbos, all the way at the end of the destiny of the world, our vantage point is that of a mortal, finite, but very holy Jewish neshama. And just like you have to know that Shabbos is your compass, so it comes first to guide you for every other day of the week. The first step of Teshuvah, however small it be, Rabbi Daniel Glatzin, I was listening to one share of his this week, and he said, you think it doesn't make a difference if you come 1 minute earlier to Mincha, to Shachris, to Beis Knesses. 1 minute could change your whole life, he said. One teeny step of Teshuvah will change your whole life. And so for us, just like Shabbos comes first, so too does Teshuvah. Halavai, we should be so zocha that with Shabbos and Teshuvah as our guide, they come first to guide us on the path where we want to go. We should be zocha to reach the ultimate destination, the end. We see Hashem Shabbos with complete Teshuvah revealed before the whole world. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha Vina Shuva Chadesh Yameinu Kekadam. Just seeing if there was anything I needed to. Okay. I wish everybody gavaldik Shabbos and a gemar v'chasima tova. Thank you so much. Kol tov ta'ah.